Glory. I like that confession, Jody. Yeah, that was amazing. I can't see with my glasses on. Now all of y'all are blurry, but this is but I can see the paper right here. Glory to God. First of all, Patty, praise and worship was amazing. And thank you for yielding to the Holy Spirit, singing, "Yes, Jesus Loves Me." People think that's a kid's song, a children's song, but us grown folks need it too. We need to be reminded and remind ourselves that Jesus loves us. And it's such a simple song that has such a strong and impactful meaning. So just little words. So Patty, thank you. Thank you for yielding to the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for being used by God. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to dive into the Word, because Patty has set the atmosphere. God is here. He's roaming around. The Holy Spirit is here. So get ready, because I do believe when we were praying in the Spirit, some chains was broken, some things was done, some things that you've been believing God for, that you've been hoping. Some things changed. There was a shift. There was a shift. There was a shift. I felt a shift when we were praying in the Spirit, when Patty was speaking. There was a shift. So get ready. Amen. Don't let the enemy tell you anything different. Get ready. There was a shift that happened during that time. God was over us. Amen. He was that helicopter parent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, first of all, we thank you. Thank you for being God. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him here to die for us, raising him from the dead for us, Father God. And now he's seated in heaven at your right hand, Father. And we just thank you, interceding for our crazy selves at times, Father God, because we make some stupid mistakes, Lord. And we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father God, we commit this service to you right now, and we bind every scheme, every attack, and every assignment the enemy has sent to come against this service, against your people, against our families, and we loose your peace. We loose your protection right now, Father God. Have your way, all of you and none of me. I am an empty vessel. You speak through me, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 I want to start off, too, just by the church body lifting up the families in Texas, what happened in Texas, what happened in Buffalo, just innocent people. That's the shedding of innocent blood. The shedding of innocent blood is not just what we sometimes think, it's just like abortions. No, shedding of innocent blood is anybody that's innocent. And those were innocent children. Innocent children, the teachers, that was horrific. So we, as Christians, we need to lift those families up. We need, because they're going to need that, not just today or tomorrow, but the rest of their lives. We need to intercede for them. And I don't know that feeling. I don't want to know that feeling. But we need to lift them up. We need to pray for them and just plead the blood of Jesus over them and just speak peace over them during this terrible time. Father, just wrap your arms around them and let them know you are still God. You are still God through this horrific thing. Just hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. It just grieves your spirit. It just truly grieves your spirit. My daddy called me last night, and he called me this morning. I can just hear it in his voice. He was just so grieved by all of this. It just truly just grieves your spirit. Hallelujah. Well, the title of my message is, "What is your heart condition?" And we're still talking about tithing and offerings and what have you. Just a little different spin on it in different ways, instead of just the traditional tithing and offerings, just different things that God is bringing out to me as I'm studying and what have you. And there's two books that I've taken this from. And the first book is this one, which is Getting a Grip on the Basics of Prosperous Living by Beth Jones. And then the one I've been teaching from, which is You Are Invited on a 40-Day Spiritual Journey to a Generous Life. which is just amazing. So these are the two books that my message is based on for this evening. But in the book by Beth Jones, she discussed prosperity. By prosperity teaching and preaching, how it honestly has caused people to look at Christians as selfish and greedy. Even other Christians look at Christians that way. And people get all fired up, you know, all hyped when you start talking about prosperity. They're jumping all over the place and this and the other. But as soon as you start talking about serving in the church, helping others, or just plain old just living for God, people get laid back and get settled. But you mentioned prosperity, they hooping and hollering and everything. But when you want them to do something in the church or serve in the church, they get reserved at that point in time. So we need to check ourselves. And she also stated, and I quote, God's number one concern is the condition of your heart. Take a moment to locate the condition of our heart, our motives for desiring prosperity, and God's purpose in providing it for us. Because God provides that prosperity for us. God opened the doors for us, for the jobs that we have, the income that we have flowing in. It ain't us. It's God. He has made those provisions for us. God did that. And we need to don't seek things. And I said this last time, we seek God's hand instead of his face. Stop seeking his hands. Check your heart condition. And I want to read this out of the book. And prosperity, what she was saying, isn't to get you all hyped up about prosperity to the detriment of your spiritual life with God. You need a solid personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, built upon the written word of God. Jesus needs to be the Lord of your life, not just in theory, but in reality. Stop all the talking and walk it out. Okay? Stop all the talking, because we can talk, but can we walk it? Glory to God. But there is a greater truth that needs to be discussed first. The importance of having a heart that is totally committed to and sold out for Jesus Christ and the gospel. That's what it boils down to, having a heart that's totally committed to Jesus and his word. His word is powerful. This book is powerful. This is a serious weapon. This is a weapon that we need to be guarded with at all times. We need to have it like, you know, the holster with the gun. Doop, doop. Have a Bible holster, you know what I'm saying? Stick it out like that, you know. You know what I'm saying? Get your, you know. What you say, devil? Oh, I thought so. You know what I'm saying? We got to do that, okay? That was free. Deuteronomy 6:5 in the Living Bible. You must love him with all your heart, soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and might, which is your strength. The Message version says, love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you got. As a mom, I love my children. I would do anything for my children. That's how God feels about us. That's how God wants us to love him. Because we love our children regardless of what they do. They can screw up so many times. I have screwed up so many times, but I am still my mama's, what she called me, Jesse? Her yellow rose sunshine daughter. That's what I am. Jesse hates it, but he would be all right. That's what she calls me, not Wanda. Hello, my beautiful yellow rose sunshine daughter. That's what I am. No matter how many times I have screwed up, I am still her yellow rose sunshine daughter. Because she loves me regardless with all that she has. And that's what God wants from us. Amen. Wake up. Hey, Daddy. Hey, God. What you got an agenda for me today? What do you have on the agenda for me today? Love him with everything that's in us, y'all. Everything that's in us. And I got a lot of scriptures today. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, in the Message version. Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list, but there is a second to set alongside of it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophets hangs from them. Love you. Love others. Love God. Love others. Loving others also, you gotta love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, it's kind of be hard to love somebody else. It's going to be even hard to love God because we are a reflection of him. He made us in his image. That's what he said in Genesis. Let us make man in our image. We are made in the image of God. We are a reflection of him. So if you don't love yourself, you can't love God because we are a reflection of him. No matter what you may have done, he loves you. We just have to repent. Get up, dust ourselves off, and keep walking. Walk this thing out. We have to keep walking it out because he loves us. In the Living Bible, it states, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second most important is similar. Love your neighbors as much as you love yourself. All the other commandments and all the demands of the prophets stem from these two laws and are fulfilled if you obey them. Keep only those, and you will find that you are obeying all the others. Love is the foundation, y'all. Loving God, loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Do we truly love God? We have to ask ourselves that. It's a heart condition. What is our heart condition? Is he truly the most important thing in our lives? Is he truly the most important thing in our lives? In Mark 12, verse 41 through 44, in the Living Bible, then he went over to the collection boxes in the temple and sat and watched the crowds drop in their money. Some who were rich put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 pennies. He called his disciples to him and remarked, that poor widow has given more than all those rich men put together. For they gave a little out of their extra fat while she gave up her last penny. The easy to read version. Jesus sat near the temple collection box and watched as people put money in it. Many rich people put in a lot of money. Then a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth less than a penny. Jesus called his followers to him and said, this poor widow put only two small coins. But the truth is, truth and facts, two different things. But the truth is, she gave more than all those rich people. They have plenty, and they gave only what they did not need. This woman is poor, but she gave all she had. It was money she needed to live on. Jesus is watching our hearts. He's watching our hearts when we give our tithes, when we give our offerings, and anything else in our life when we're doing it in the name of God.
That's right.
He's looking at our hearts, y'all. He's there. He's looking. So are we giving God what's right or are we giving him what's left? Let's check the condition of our hearts. What are we doing? The rich folks, they just gave extra what they have. You know, oh, that's just play money right there. Let me just give God play money. God don't want your play money. He don't want your play money. He wants the 10%, the tithes, the first fruit, as Jody was saying. That's what he wants. He do not want your play money. Keep your play money in your play money bank account. Keep it there. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8 and chapter 8 and verse 12. I'll get it out. The easy to read version. If you want to give, your gift would be accepted. Your gift would be judged by what you have, not by what you don't have. The Living Bible. If you are really eager to give, then it isn't important how much you have to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you haven't. We get so focused and so caught up on what we don't have at times. We get so caught up on what we do not have. I only have this little bit. I only da 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 da. What do we have? Focus on that. What do we have? What do we have that we can give to God? God has blessed us, y'all. No matter how things may look, we are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. We may not have just everything that we want, but I guarantee you, each one of us sitting in here, and I can speak to the ones that's watching, you have what you need. If you are a child of God, if you are a tither, if you are a giver, and if God is going to feed the birds, why won't he feed you? Amen. It may not necessarily be what you want, but you will eat.
That's right.
We focus so much. Christians, I ain't talking to the world. Christians, we focus so much on what we don't have. But what do we have? What do we have in our hands? What do we have? 2 Corinthians 8:3, the Message version. They gave offerings of whatever they could, far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians. The Living Bible. They gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And I can testify that they did it because they wanted to and not because of nagging on my part. I think about Miss Pauline with the chairs. And I miss her so much. I miss her. Chairs more than what she had. But she pledged how many chairs she wanted to give, and she gave more than that, if I'm not mistaken. I think she did more. I think she had an X amount of chairs that she wanted to pay for, but she went above that because God blessed her. God saw her heart. And he did. You're right. He continued to bless her. She was blessed. Her car was blessed. She was blessed. She was truly blessed. Glory to God. It's a heart thing. It's not about how much, but are we willing? Are we giving willingly with the right intentions?
That's right.
Are we giving just for show so someone can see us dropping something in the box? Someone can see us on our phones during tithes and offerings, maybe going to the app and doing whatever, or maybe texting, doing the Cash App thing, maybe, but just we want that persona. Like, I'm just giving my tithe. I want you to see what I'm doing. Check your heart. Check your intentions. Speaking to all of us. Brian Cluth, in his book, the one I was talking about, The 40-Day Journey to a More Generous Life, he stated, give in proportion to how God has blessed you materially. You should give according to your income, lest God make your income according to your giving. Let me read that one more again. You should give according to your income, lest God makes your income according to your giving. Ouch.
Amen.
Something to think about. What if God blessed us according to what we gave? What if he only gave us enough air to breathe based on our giving? Would some of us even make it to 8 o'clock in the morning? I'm just saying. Fortunately for us, that's not how our God operates. That's not how he operates. He's not like that. We probably would be like that, but that's not how he operates. Alabama Power is like that. If you don't pay that power bill, they're going to turn your power bill off. You don't pay that Wi-Fi gonna be gone. Lost signal. Just saying. But God looks at our heart, not the hand, the giver, not the gift. He looks at our heart, not the hand, the giver, and not the gift. It's your heart. It's a heart thing. It's all about the heart. Deuteronomy 16 and 10. The Living Bible. At that time, bring him a free will offering, proportionate in size to his blessing upon you, as judged by the amount of your harvest. Other translations call the free will offering a voluntary offering. Okay? And this is a definition I found for it. A free will offering is an offering that is your choice. You decide what to give. But, as what's-his-face say, not so fast, my friends. It is not called a free will offering because you have a choice on if you are to going to give, but only because you are deciding what you are going to give when it's time to give. And that's when God lays something on your heart to give. That's what that is. It's not a, if I want to give. No, no, it's not if. This you are, you just decide what. Your gift should be proportioned to the blessing of the Lord that you have received. You are to bring it to the place of worship with rejoicing, cheerfully and joyfully. Remind yourself where the Lord has brought you from, so you will remember and appreciate all his blessings on your life. Remember where he's brought you from, where he's brought us from to where we are now. That's a blessing in itself if some of us look back to see where we were to where we are now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A free will offering are precious seeds, which has life in them and is meant to multiply and produce a harvest after its kind. You do not know the worth of a seed until it is planted. Wow. You have to plant the seed first to know the value of the seed. Because you may be planting a seed in advance of something that God knows is about to happen.
That's right.
Because we can't see that far down the line. But God can. So he may be putting something on our hearts to plant a seed. Because he knows something is coming down the line where he's going to bail us out, for lack of a better word.
That's right.
So we plant a seed early because we don't know the value of that seed.
That's right. That's right.
We don't know the value of that seed. We may be planting a $100 seed. That $100 seed could turn into $1 million. I'm just saying, that's how my God operates. I don't know about y'all, but that's how my God operates. I like his multiplication table. I'm just saying. That's how he operates. He don't add, he multiply. Okay? That's how he operates. Whew, okay. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Initially, I wasn't going to read this whole verse, but then God told me to read it, so I got to do what he said. All these verses, because it's good. The blessings for obedience, okay? And yes, we're talking about the message is geared around tithes and offerings, okay? But this is just obedience in general, all right? If you fully, not partially, not a little bit, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offsprings of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they would scatter from you in seven. The Lord would guarantee a blessing on everything you do and fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord God would bless you in the land that he is giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as a holy people that he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord God will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never borrow from one of them. You will listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. And if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never at the bottom. You must turn away from any other, you must not turn away from any other commands I am giving you today, nor follow any other gods and worship them. Glory. Glory. That's the God that we serve. This is the God that we serve. Obedience. Obedience is a heart thing. What is our heart condition? We need to do a pulse check. What is our heart condition? Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter, I told y'all I had quite a few scriptures. I don't have too much more to go. Glory to God, but I've got to, he ain't telling me to stop yet, okay? So 1 Timothy 6 through 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money, craving money, craving money. Like when Pastor Sharon was talking about the ice cream with the chocolate chip cookies crumbled on top. Craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Pierced. Not just adding sorrow, pierced themselves with many sorrows, is what the word says. Money itself is not evil. Okay? And so many people, I've heard that, oh, money is the root of all. No, the love of it. Money itself is not evil. We need money. We need money. But the love of that money is evil. When we love money more than we love God, it's a heart issue. Check your heart condition. We should love God and his word more than anything else. Obtaining all the riches, the wealth, this world is not worth anything if in the process or at the end we lose our own soul, as Beth Young stated in her book. There would be no safe deposit boxes or moving trucks behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. Brian Clue stated in his book, God, and this was funny to me, God is going to take some people to heaven feet first because they keep trying to hold on to everything they have here on earth. That was just funny to me. That was just so funny to me. Glory to God. And also, let's see here. Psalms 119, verse 36 and 37. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Worthless things. It's okay to have things. Just to let those things have you.
That's right. That's right.
It's okay. God wants us to enjoy technology. He wants us to have, but don't let the things have you. Don't put your focus. We don't need to put our focus on those things. Put our focus, focus salute, as pastors say, on God. Put our focus on God. And those things will come if our heart is right. We need to check our heart condition. We need to get a pulse check. We need to do that. Glory to God. Psalms 37 and 16. Better the little than the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. There's some wicked rich folks. Just wicked. There's some wicked poor people. It goes both ways. Because there's some good folk, good Christian folks that's wealthy. Good Christian folks that's wealthy. But we got our focus. It's all about the focus, y'all. It's all about the focus. Luke 12, verses 15 through 21. Jesus said, beware. Don't be greedy for what you don't have. Real life is not measured by how much we own. And he gave an illustration. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. In fact, his barns were full to overflowing. So he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I have room enough to store everything. I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, I like this part right here, y'all. You fool. You rock off. You will die this very night. Then who would get it all? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God.
Amen.
You a fool. God said that. I'm just repeating what my daddy said, okay? I'm just repeating what my daddy said. Glory to God. Psalms 37, 21. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. When I read that, the very first thought immediately came to me was about us Christian folks who borrow the pastor's time, etc., but we never want to bless them financially. That's the first thing, the first thought that came to my mind when I read that. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. That was my first immediate thought, is that as Christians, we borrow from our pastors. We borrow their time. You know, and I know I've said this before, the studying that they do to bring us the good word, and I'm talking about our pastor. I can't talk about nobody else. I talk about ours, Pastor Rocky, Pastor Sharon. The studying, the time that they put in, but then we don't want to bless them financially. We're borrowing from them, but we don't want to repay, in a sense. That's when I read that, that's the first thought that came to my mind. And pastors did not tell me to say that. Just want y'all to know. Just saying. Hallelujah. And Carla, you're going to like this. When I put Christ and his, and this is from Brian Clough's book, y'all. When I put Christ and his word as the master in charge of my finances, he took far better care of me than my master charge ever did. I know Miss El Cheapo, I mean Miss, what's her name, would like it. Miss Frugal would like that over there. when I put Christ and his word as the master in charge of my finances, he took far better care of me than my master charge ever did. God is so good. All right, a couple of more scriptures, y'all. Exodus 22:29. You must be prompt in giving me the tithe of your crops and your wine and the redemption payment for your oldest son. Easy to read. At harvest time, you should give me the first grain and the first juice from your fruit. Don't wait until late in the year. Be prompt in giving your tithes and your offerings. You don't have to wait until you come to church to give it. Technology has made it so easy for us, y'all. We can give online. As I was saying, we got, you know, Cash App, we got PayPal, right? Yeah. We have all these different options that we can do. So if you know that you're going to maybe be tempted to spend your money, give online. And then Mr. Ish is here certain days a week. Just drop it off at the church, slide it under the door. I'm just saying, if you know, you don't wait, don't hesitate. Brian Clue said in his book, if everyone in your church followed your pattern of giving, would your church receive a token, a tip, or a tithe? Check our heart. What is our heart condition? It's time for a pulse check. It's something to think about. We must put God first in all things, including our tithing and our offerings. We must put him first. Like I said, if you know you're going to be tempted to spend, you need to go ahead and give your tithes and your offerings. Don't wait. Don't allow yourself to be tempted. Seriously, we have too many options to go ahead and just give our tithes and our offerings. And I'm gonna end with this, y'all. I'm coming to a close. I'm gonna end with this. Let's see here. Brian Cluth, in his book, his quote, his last quote in here, it says, sometimes God give us more income not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. Sometimes God give us more income not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. I hope you all got something tonight. Glory to God.